coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show for you today, and I know that you're going to love it. Folks, what day is this? This is like, what? The week before Christmas, right? Wow. Christmas already. Wasn't I just talking to you about deer hunting and about cutting firewood and hauling it and, oh man, everything that you do outside, right? And now, look outside right now. If you're in Michigan, you're freezing your butt off. Just a couple of days ago, I got up, 6 a.m., it was like 0 degrees. How does that happen? Man, I tell you. Time flies so quickly, does it not? Well, I don't know about you, but I just love Christmas. And that opening music that you heard, well, that was the opening song from my favorite Christmas movie of all time. Last week we heard from Die Hard and Bruce Willis. This week, It's a Wonderful Life. You know, that was directed by Frank Capra and starring Jimmy Stewart as George Bailey and Donna Reed. Donna Reed, I got to tell you, man, that girl, she was a looker in her time, was she not? And the part that she played, man, I got to think that back in, what, 1947, 48, when that was released, that every boy in the country wanted to marry Donna Reed. Remember that show she played on? What? The Donna Reed Show. That must have been, what, early 60s or something? Who knows? I don't remember. I probably saw it when it was a rerun. But, hey, I just watched that show last night with my family. We watch It's a Wonderful Life every single year. And I'm guessing that the rest of you, well, probably a lot of you, watch the same movie. It's a timeless movie. It's a movie about the human condition. I mean, which one of us has gone through life, had a life so blessed that never once in your life you didn't think about depression or sadness or, you know, so many things can happen in life that can get you down. And that's what this story is about. I mean, there's been so many times in my life when I've been like that. I mean, this is my third marriage, so you know I've been through some sad times, right? I mean, the first marriage, the first divorce, the second marriage, the second divorce, all of those things can just really get you down. But you know what? Thank God I found my Donna Reed, and her name is Sarah, and she makes my life worthwhile and happy, and I have the happy family that I have always wanted. When I'm away from my family for more than a few hours, no matter what I'm doing, I can be out on the range having a blast, but I want to go home. I miss them, and I just want to go be with them. Well, let's talk a little bit about the movie It's a Wonderful Life. There's a lot of things that most people just don't know about It's a Wonderful Life. It was based on a short story titled The Greatest Gift, which was written by Philip Van Doren Stern. He wrote that in 1939, and he published it privately in 1945. Originally, one of the movie studios bought that in hopes that Cary Grant would play George Bailey. And, you know, nothing against Cary Grant, but I can't imagine anyone playing George Bailey except Jimmy Stewart. That guy, he has such range when it comes to playing a part. His face, his facial features, he can show compassion and kindness and sadness, and then he can just, on a dime, he can explode into anger. And when he opens up his face really large, his eyes get big, and he looks like a psychopath. And that's just funny, because he's always so mild-mannered and soft and gentle, and then he can just go berserk, and all of a sudden, hey, now I'm Charles Manson. So I love that about James Stewart. He's always been one of my favorite actors. Now, of course, when that first came out in the box office, that was after World War II, after Jimmy Stewart came home. I believe he was he was on a bombing crew, or I'm not sure he was a pilot or what, but he served his time in World War II in the European theater. He came home after pausing his movie career, and he played this part, but it did very poorly at the box office initially, and it didn't reach its break-even point for quite a while. But since then, my gosh, it has exploded. You know, it has more than cult fame. You know, everyone wants to watch It's a Wonderful Life, you know, around Christmas time. You know, don't tell anyone, but sometimes I even watch it in July. You know, I gotta tell you, that line at the very end, you know, you've got Clarence the Angel. That angel, played by Henry Travers, he is so funny. Clarence Oddbody. Angel Second Class. You know, he says, Harry Bailey died, fell through on the ice when he was 9. No, that's not true. He saved the life of every man on that transport. Every man on that transport died. You weren't there to save Harry, so Harry wasn't there to save them. One life touches so many others, and when you're not there, it leaves an awfully big hole. No matter where you're at right now, you could be depressed, you could be sad, you could be smothered in regret over things you've done wrong or should have done differently. But I'm here to tell you, you are where you are because of the decisions that you made, and you can't change those decisions. So don't try and go back. Don't even try. And you can't change anything anyways. So wherever you are, make the best out of it. Try to serve your fellow man. Serve your family. Serve your family. Okay, we got a few minutes left. It's time for some news. Let me go to Drudge Report. We haven't been there in a while. Oh, tax bill vote Tuesday. Details, details. Well, I hope they do something. They haven't passed a bill that I like in years. What else? Entire family turns transgender. Okay. I'm not sure what that's going to look like, and I don't want to see pictures. Increased risk for brain cancer, low sperm count, and headaches. Impaired memory if you carry your cell phone in your pocket. That's bad news. What else do we have? Oh, we've got Top Gun writes priority prospects dim. Oh, that's all about the national reciprocity. That is stalled. And the prospects for that aren't looking real good right now. You know, I'm looking for good news. I came here thinking, you know what? There's got to be some good news here. I mean, this is Christmas time, right? But I'm not seeing any good news whatsoever. I am not seeing any good news whatever. Let's try something else. Let's head over to, KHOU.com. Here's some good news. Secret Santa covers $49,000 in layaways at Walmart store. This is out of Millville, New Jersey. Customers at the New Jersey Walmart with items on layaway received an early Christmas gift of their own thanks to a Secret Santa. The man, whose store manager, Rosie Cower, said wishes not to be identified, paid off $49,000 worth of layaway merchandise for 223 people on Saturday. Great. Cower said of the man's identity, "Only I know. I'm the only one who knows. He's a local businessman, a very nice person. The customers were so grateful that someone wanted to do that." Kimberly Green, 52, of Vineland, was one of the beneficiaries of the generous deed. She and her daughter, Shantae Jenkins, who works at the Millville Walmart, started with an $1,100 layaway order. The mystery Santa covered their $713 balance, according to Green. "It's the nicest thing that's ever happened to me," Green said. "You see all these stories like this, and you don't expect it to happen in Vineland or Millville. It's just really uplifting." You know, that's fantastic. You know, these things happen a lot, but we never get to read them. We never hear about them because you have to dig to find them. You go on Drudge, you go on Fox News, I mean, wherever your news source of choice is, and all you hear is bad news, because that's what sells papers, I guess. That's what people read. I'm getting a little sick of it myself, and I certainly don't want to hear about it on Christmas. So when you do a kind act for someone, it helps the whole culture, the whole society. So get out there today. What I want you to do is find someone who needs help and help them. Buy them a turkey, you know, pay their light bill, shovel their driveway. Become part of the solution instead of part of the problem. We have enough bad news out there. Go out there and make someone happy for Christmas. Okay, well, enough for news. At least we found something good. Coming up in segments 2 and 3, we're going to be speaking with Barry County Sheriff Dar Leaf. We'll be talking all about church security and safety and the first annual Barry County Church Safety Summit. It's an all-day event on February 16 at Thornapple Valley Church near Hastings, Michigan. We'll be talking about that and all about church safety and security. So we've got a 2-minute break here, but don't go too far. Go out and get yourself some eggnog since it's Christmas. And then make sure you check out firearmslegal.com and also our other sponsor, elitefirearms.us. Okay, folks, I'm happy, happy, happy. I hear jingle bells, but don't go very far, because in 2 minutes, we will be right back. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. There's your host, Skip Coriel. As promised, we are speaking with Sheriff Dar Leaf from Berry County, Michigan. Dar, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Well, Dar, most people know you, but we get new listeners all the time. So just for the sake of the new listeners, just talk a little bit about yourself. How'd you get into law enforcement, and what are your credentials?
How did I get into law enforcement? I originally grew up in Shiawassee County, went to Corona High School. When I got out of Corona High School, went to Grand Rapids Community College in law enforcement. It was one of those things I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do, so I kind of, it's almost like throwing a dart at a board and I hit law enforcement. I wanted to do something outside. Yeah, well, I wanted to do something outside, something that was different. I worked in the factory for not quite a year, more ironworks in Owosso. And really the job I had, you could almost train a monkey to do it. So it really wasn't for me. It wasn't that challenging. So I saved up my money and went to college, it was Grand Rapids Junior College back then. Now it's a community college. Then I went through Davenport College to some paramedic training, but applied and ended up here in Berry County.
You know, I just learned something new. I didn't know that you had paramedic training, and I've known you a long, long time. But hey,
I used to joke around about if I shot somebody, I knew how to take care of them.
you can make the hole and you can plug it up. All right.
Well, it goes along with the martial arts training I've had too for years. Kind of grew up around that. So if I hurt you too bad, I can also help you out and get you the ER.
Okay, good. Well, I'll just be careful of what I say. All right. It sounds like, you know, your career choice was close to mine, because, you know, at least the same, you know, we chose the same way. I worked at a factory for a year before I decided to go to college, and the factory really helped me decide that, you know what, this, I'm taking the same part, I'm putting it in the same hole, and I'm doing it 5,000 times a day. I want something a little more involved. And so I went to college too, and I'm glad that I did. But Dar, what we want to talk about today is church safety, not just church security, but church safety. Tell us what you're doing in Berry County to meet the church safety needs there.
What we're working on right now is doing our first ever Berry County Church Security Summit. We're holding that out at Thornapple Valley Church. What we want to do is invite all the churches in the county and sit down. Let's talk about policies. What policies do we have? Let's talk about anything from a medical emergency to an active shooter. You know, we're in a farming community. What happens if an anhydrous tank gets hit by another car and starts leaking and it's in front of your church? You know, what are we going to do with stuff like that? Mm-hmm. We also want them to get prepared. One of the most important things in any emergency is communication. How do you communicate with 911 effectively? How can you communicate with 911 prior to an incident happening as a matter of being able to prepare? So there's all kinds of stuff we want to start sharing with our churches, making sure they're up to speed with the churches who have already done these church security teams and policies. So basically that's what we're trying to do, is trying to get everybody moving forward with church security and church security teams.
Well, I've heard it used, I've heard it termed two ways, church safety and church security. Tell us exactly what the difference is.
Well, I've been calling it church security. To me, it's whatever the church wants to call it. Mm-hmm. If you're more comfortable calling it a security team, that's fine. A safety team, I would think they'd be more focused on, like, the going around and looking for any hazards around the church, making sure that sidewalks were salted so you didn't have somebody slip and fall and crack their head. So then security would be more where an active shooter or a disgruntled husband, wife, and, you know, they could always pose a threat to several people in those churches.
Yeah. Yeah, one thing that I've noticed, Dar, you know, when we go into the church, and for the sake of our listeners, I'm a special deputy with the Berry County Sheriff's Office, so I work real close with Dar. And one of the things that I do is I help organize these safety and security teams for churches. But one thing that we've noticed, Dar, is that some churches like to call themselves safety teams simply because of the politics, of the idea of bringing armed personnel into their place of worship. Some people just, they can't wrap their head around it. You know, it makes blood shoot out their eyeballs and things like that. Talk a little bit about the politics of armed security inside a house of worship.
Well, you let the cat out of the bag. You just told everybody there's politics even in church.
I think anyone who goes to church knows.
The politics of it are you got people with different beliefs. Obviously, everybody going there has some belief in God. But there's different people out there who don't like the Second Amendment. And there's people out there who are what we call the right-wingers when it comes to the Second Amendment. They all have to respect each other and say these churches, they all have to work with each other trying to get the message of God out there. So, yes, there's going to be politics. There's going to have to be some give and take. There's people with different levels of training. And then that just doesn't go for the firearms. That goes for the fire departments, EMS, and so on. So then you have that piece. And here's that dirty word. It's almost as bad as saying an attorney, but liability.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody likes throwing that word liability out there. But that pendulum, I just want to notify the viewers out there, that pendulum swings both ways. You can go on out and have an active shooter and you do nothing and you did nothing to prepare for it, you're going to get sued. Mm-hmm. You go out and have an active shooter on the other end and you have armed people in there and they shoot and they shoot the wrong person, you're going to get sued. So you have to try and show the public that about the training. You have to try and show them about that liability pendulum swinging both ways. What do you want? What does the church want? You may lose some members of this church because you're going this direction.
Yeah. Yeah, I was speaking with a pastor from Barry County, a church in Barry County, and he was relaying a conversation he had with one of his members of his church. He said, you know, they were talking about, you know, the Sutherland Springs, Texas mass killing, and the church member told him, you know, I am so glad that we don't have anyone armed in our church, because if I thought that anyone here in this church was carrying a gun, that, you know, I would have to go someplace else. And the pastor just had to bite his lip because he carries 24/7. And they have a armed security team. But the member just doesn't know. They don't publicize it for that reason. I mean, let's face it, some churches will split over whether or not to pave the parking lot. So it can get really hairy sometimes, you know, when you're talking about, you know, all the different personalities and political beliefs and things of that nature. So, you know, it can be a little tricky setting things up. Dar, you have a medical background as well, so talk about, you know, a medical team. What should people be thinking about as far as taking care of heart attacks and things like that inside a church?
Got to remember, it's an emergency medical education I have. It's not ER or anything like that. So I worked with Lansing Mercy Ambulance for about a year and a half before I took the job here at Barry County. And when you start talking about the churches, though, not everybody had my level of training. You have people who have just basic first aid, which is good. So people just knew CPR and could work one of those automatic external defibrillators. You know, those are so high-tech now, they're easy to use. And you had some people in there who were medical first responders, which is not quite the level to an emergency medical technician. And you have the emergency medical technician specialist, and you have the emergency medical technician paramedic. Mm-hmm. And those are all different levels, and each one is allowed to administer different things to a victim. What you have to do when you go pick out your team is we like recruiting those people who have some type of medical experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that makes sense. So it doesn't have to be a doctor or a registered nurse.
No.
Okay. Could be...
Well, a doctor may be good for your long-term health.
Yeah.
But is there... Just because a doctor doesn't mean he's good at knowing what C-spine is if somebody slips and falls, cracks their head on the concrete. Maybe he doesn't know the emergency medicine for those type of injuries.
Yeah, and he may not take your HMO.
Right.
All right. Well, hey, that is good information. Dar, tell us right now how people can get a hold of the Berry County Sheriff's Office to sign up symposium. You know, when is the date? How much does it cost? That nature. And then at the end of the third segment, I'll have you repeat that information. But go ahead right now.
Our phone number is 269-944-8005. If you want to talk to Deputy Kevin Erb, he's the one heading it up. However, Kevin works twice, so there may be a delay. If he just finished one of his long 12-hour shifts, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he's going to have Monday and Tuesday off. So he may be on a stretch of his days off. So be patient. Leave the information. What we need is the name of the church, the contact person, phone number, and an email.
Okay. All right, so that phone number again is 269-948-4805. All right, folks, we are speaking with Berry County Sheriff Dar Leaf all about church safety and security, and we will be speaking with him again in the next segment for the next 2 minutes. Go ahead and listen to our sponsors. We have Leap Firearms and King in Middleville, Michigan, and then we also have Firearms Legal Protection to protect yourself against the criminal justice system. Okay, minutes, go out and check out our sponsors, and when we come back, we'll be speaking more with Sheriff Darley. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
On the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want to talk to you about keeping your kids safe around guns. I've never been a big fan of trigger locks, but I have to tell you, I have found a product called ChildSafe One. It's a trigger blocker, not a trigger lock, and it works fantastic. I tried it out on my kids, and they could not get the ChildSafe One off the training gun. I gave them 5 minutes. I sat there and I watched them, and they couldn't do it. Folks, I am satisfied, more than satisfied, that my kids are safe around ChildSafe One. Here's the good thing about it. I can get that lock off the gun in under 2 seconds, but my kids can't even figure out how it works. ChildSafe One is a win-win for everyone in the family. My wife's happy because she knows the guns are secure. My kids are happy because they're safe. And I'm happy because when the wolf comes a-knocking, I've got that gun cocked, locked, and ready to rock in less than 2 seconds. So go to globalgunsafety.com and get ChildSafe One today. That's globalgunsafety.com. Check it out now and tell them the Home Defense Show sent you.
Hey, folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend.
Visit firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We are speaking with Berry County Sheriff Dar Leaf all about church safety and security. Dar, you know, just a few weeks ago, there was a horrific mass killing in a church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. Go ahead and give us a little bit of background on what happened there and maybe what could have been done to mitigate, you know, the 26 people who died. How could they have lessened that?
Well, first of all, I don't have much detail on that at all. Most of the detail I have is like what most of the public would have is on the news. Usually what will happen is when I go to a sheriff's conference, they'll invite somebody from that police agency to come on out and start talking to other law enforcement entities that have conferences. And they'll kind of lay it out. They'll look at a PowerPoint presentation. That hasn't happened with this one yet.
Okay.
So if you go look at it, though, there was over 7 minutes and 24 people dead. If you start looking at that and start focusing in on the time, and I'm going to ask the listeners out there someday, just sit for a minute silently. Don't move. Just sit for a minute. Time it. Picture in your head how many shots you could get off in that 1 minute.
Oh, yeah.
Which tells me there was something going on here that where these people are lying there like sheep or kneeling there like sheep and he's executing them. Mm-hmm. Or did they barricade themselves in? We had to fight to get into the door. There's that. What took that 7 minutes? Why was there fighting back and so on and so forth? If you look at who took the person out, it was a civilian with a fire.
A like plumber.
Says, yeah. It was a, the NRA says that what's going to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And that this was a prime example. If you get the magazines from the NRA, each month they have people who use their firearm in self-defense. That's stuff you don't hear on the news.
Yeah.
Most of the time, they didn't have to fire a shot. Just the mere showing of that firearm stopped that assault. But getting back to it, somebody was obviously upset with somebody inside the church, and this was their method. They wanted to go and handle it.
Yeah.
And there's a Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman calls them brittle people.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people out there in society can handle the stress. You know, most people can do that, but there's that small percentage that can't handle that. Here again, we've got all this news coverage. I mean, all these mass shootings. Remember Columbine, how graphic the news media got? That student that was bloody crawling out of a window, and what they did is they put that on everybody's dinner table. That was shown at 6 o'clock news.
Yeah.
And news media learned from that. We all learned from that. Now we're trying to tone that down. We're trying to limit how many times we say who the shooter was. I don't like releasing the name of the shooters. They had their minutes of fame, I guess you'd call it. Why do we give it to them?
Yeah.
Why do we release the name at all? Don't give it to them. And that seems to be more a driver to these people to do this, if they want their name and lights. I can't say that 100%. However, the stuff that we're trying right now doesn't seem working.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman talks about video games, the violence on television, how graphic it's getting. You know, before you watch the old Gunsmoke, the guy gets shot, he just put his hand over his belly and he'd slowly collapse.
Yeah.
Now you watch it on TV. This is television our children are watching. They get shot, the blood bursts out the back and out the front. Parents, we're letting our children watch this stuff. So he's saying we're creating all these killers, and it's our own fault because we're not being parents anymore and not limiting what our children are watching.
Dave Grossman, he wrote that book, Why Are We Teaching Our Kids to Kill? And then he wrote On Killing and then On Combat. You can go to killology.com to find out about all things Dave Grossman. I've listened to his seminars, like a full-day seminar, and the Bulletproof Mind. Dave Grossman is like required reading and required study if you're going to work in a church.
He did a study in Escanaba, Michigan about violence mm-hmm. in the schools. And what they did is they broke the kids up, and I believe it's three groups. One group didn't get to watch TV or play video games. The second group could watch TV, but no video games. And the third group could watch video games and TVs. And they noticed the kids that didn't do either one of those, their grades went up, the amount of violent aggression out in the playground was down. And, of course, the people who were doing the video games and the television, they were the most violent.
Yeah.
And their grades were lower.
Yeah, they're just modeling what they're seeing. I've noticed that with my homeschoolers. I mean, we homeschool our three kids. And, man, I sent the first four to public school. And I noticed a difference. They're just less prone to violence. They're more considerate of each other. They're less irritable. They're less tense. You know, so we don't have to medicate them because they're already calm because of their lifestyle. So, Dar, talk to us about finding the right type of person to arm inside of a church. You're going to create a security team. You want armed personnel in there. But you don't want just anyone, do you? What kind of person do you want to carry a gun in your church?
Well, obviously anybody with any law enforcement background. Law enforcement, they go through the training, and then they go through more training. Each year they're required to do training. Now in Michigan here, we're required to make decision shoots. Have you ever seen those FATS machines where it's like a video camera, and the pistol you use actually has a laser, and the laser will record where your shots are at.
Yeah. Well, I need one of those for my garage.
Yeah. Oh, it's like a giant video game.
Mm-hmm.
But we interact with the video. We actually will give out verbal commands. We will try and de-escalate it. And the person who's controlling the FATS machine can escalate the situation, or they can de-escalate it as you're trying to de-escalate them.
Mm-hmm.
We do that kind of training. That's not open to the general public. They also need somebody who has some type of military experience. Again, chain of command, they understand rules. Another thing we look for is I like people who are just good, level-headed people.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who, we're looking for people who can think under a stressful situation.
Yeah.
That's key. My legal portion of your CPL classes. And what do I tell everybody? The higher your heart rate gets, the dumber you get.
Yeah.
It happens to everybody. And you're looking for that person who can control that stress, somebody who is confident, and somebody who just has a ability to be able to talk to people.
Yeah. You know, another thing that I've noticed, Dar, is, you know, while I worked with you, boy, it must have been close to 10 years on the church safety team where you and I went to church together, and now I'm going at another church, forming and training a new church safety team. And I've noticed that there are people who, you know, they shoot, they enjoy the shooting sports, but there are some of them who think it's really cool to have a gun and to go places and to tell other people, say, oh, hey, I have a gun, look at my gun. I don't think those are the kind of people that you want armed in your church. They're just too eager. And it, when you think about what you're going to be doing if you actually have to use your firearm, I don't think I really want someone who's eager to shoot someone. Talk about that for a second.
Well, you'd be surprised how many of those eager people, when the actual situation come down where they had to use it, would probably not be able to drop that hammer.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool, look at me, I'm cool, I'm somebody. All of a sudden, something hits the fan, and you're in that situation where you have to make that decision on whether or not to take a human life. That is not an average day decision you make. That is a very serious, you have to recognize that threat. We joke around about it in law enforcement, the rookies, you know, when you see on paper what an assault is. Then you have to take what's on that paper and apply it out in the field and be able to recognize what you read on that paper and be able to apply it to what's happening in front of you. That takes time. If it's a shooting that surprises everybody, you don't have time to think like that. You don't have time. When it's happening right now, you have to have that ability to make that decision right away that this is the right decision.
Yeah. So you want someone with the proper mindset. It has to be a warrior mindset, but you know, you also have to be compassionate, and you have to be Christian about it, obviously. Someone who is mm-hmm. able to take a human life but really doesn't want to take a human life.
Yeah, you have to understand God's law, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about hardware now. And we've been talking about software. Let's talk about the hardware, you know, the types of guns, ammunition, things like that, that would be best to be using to interdict an active killer in a church environment where you have so many people. Are there any special concerns?
Again, it boils down to practice. If you carry this big old 44 Magnum, but you can't hit your target with it, what good is that?
Yeah.
If you can hit with a 22, will a 22 kill somebody? Yeah, it can. Does it have the force of a 44 Magnum? No. But the 44 Magnum has no force if you don't hit your target.
So
you need to obviously practice with it. But you also need, and I think the NRA nails it, the largest caliber that you can shoot effectively.
Yeah, yeah. How often do you recommend that people train for a church safety team, and how often do you recommend that they qualify on the range?
Well, you know me, I'd like everybody shooting every day if they could. And what it does is it gets you familiar with that firearm. I've got to with most of the firearms that I use regularly. At close range, I don't even need my sights. I can just point it and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So you need that type of mentality, because when that stuff hits the fan again, you have to be able to hit your target. And FBI statistics show that most officers don't look at their sights. They're just looking at their target and pointing and shooting.
Yeah.
Well, folks, that's how you have to practice.
Yeah.
But at the churches, I'd like to see at least once a year do a drill. There's a reason why your schools do fire drills. There's a reason why your schools do lockdown drills. What we have is we have a generation of children who grew up around these lockdown drills. But the older generation have no idea what a lockdown drill is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you now you've got these people all in a big building, and there's a lot of people in there, especially in the lobby area, you want to talk about something going crazy. I fear the day when somebody's in the lobby shooting, because even if you are the security, how are you going to get a shot off to stop that person with everybody running and panicking? How do you know you're not going to get run over?
Yeah.
You have to go out and do some training with the church. I know a lot of churches kind of frown on it because, you know, you do a fire drill, how many people are going to come back into the service, you know? it's just something you're going to have to do. Like, one of the things that we were working on with the policies is a lot of churches have a area for the children's ministry. Well, the parents will be in the regular auditorium listening to the sermon while the children are talking to adults in the children's ministry. Well, if you get a fire, those children are going to be out before the people inside the auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how many parents are going to go run and want to get their child? Well, sorry, your child's already out. You don't run back to the classroom. So those are some of the things we're trying to get through the churches, that these are the policies you need to have in place.
Yeah.
This is the training you need to have.
Well, that makes good sense. And that brings us all the way back around. We're almost out of time here. Your summit on church safety. Dar, tell us again how to get a hold of you and get signed up for this church safety summit.
The phone number here at the Sheriff's Office is 269-948-4805. You can want to talk to Deputy Kevin Erb. He's my liaison for the auxiliary. Or you can email me at dleaf@berrycounty.org.
All right, DLEAF, that's Delta Leaf at berrycounty.org. Dar, thank you very, very much for being on the Home Defense Show.
I hope everybody got something out.
All right, fantastic. Okay, folks, we have got to take another break. Go ahead, listen to our sponsors, Firearms Legal Protection. Go to firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical. Check that out. And then go to elitefirearms.us and find out all about Larry Jackson in Middleville, Michigan, and how he can help you and your family out. Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel and Home Defense Show. When we come back, I will be telling you what I really think about all this. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Clarence! Get me back! Get me back! I don't care what happens to me! Get me back to my wife and kids! Help me, Clarence, please! Please! I want to live again! I want to live again! I want to live again! Please, God, let me live again!
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. You know, I always love talking to Darleaf. I mean, I've known him for, just maybe a couple of decades. But we've been teaching together for, going on 18 years. So, yeah, I guess it has been a couple of decades that I've known Dar. Just a great all-around guy and just awesome to have him as the county sheriff. Okay, before we get back into firearms and safety and all that good stuff, let me tell you about how my Christmas present went with my wife. I forgot to tell you about that. I took her to the Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant Christmas concert in Grand Rapids, Michigan at Van Andel Arena. I was last Sunday. I took her there. Oh, man, we had a good time. It was just awesome. You know, there's something about a live concert where, I mean, you can listen to someone on tape or on the radio or something, and, oh, yeah, it might be nice, but when they're there and you can see flesh, the music that you listen to, it takes on a higher life form. It's just bigger and stronger and better, and it means more. It's like it gets emotion and blood and bone and all that other good stuff with it. And you know, I didn't realize that Michael W. Smith is 60 years old, but he's younger than I am. He was born in October, and I was born in September. And then Amy Grant is 57 years old. The last time I saw her in concert, she was playing with a group called DeGarmo and Key, and that was at Calvin College in Grand Rapids. So that must have been, 35, 40 years ago. Must have been 35 years ago. Long, long time. But hey, as you know, I had to disarm myself to go into Van Andel Arena, which I don't like at all. You know, I don't regret it because my wife had so much fun and it meant so much to her to take her to that concert. And it was just enlightening, uplifting. It was just inspirational. And if you ever get a chance to see Amy Grant
and Michael W. Smith in concert for a Christmas special. You should go ahead and do it. I would like to see a Michael W. Smith worship music concert. I think that'd be awesome. I love his worship music. But that went fantastic. Now, let's go ahead and let's talk about the church safety, church security thing. You know, one of the things that has always just stymied me is the intense resistance that we get when we go into a church. This is a church who has called up the sheriff's office and said, hey, we'd like you to come in and teach us how to set up a safety team. And boy, the phone's been ringing off the hook the last month or so, you know, since the Sutherland Springs massacre. People want us to come in, and they want us to help them feel safe. And that's the problem, and you've heard me talk about this before. It's great when someone calls and says, hey, I want to train, I want to work hard, I want to do the right things, I want to set things up so that my family is safe, or my church is safe, or my business is safe. But so many of them, it's like they want to go through the motions. You know, they'll have a meeting with the board of elders or something, or the deacon board, because someone voiced a concern that, gosh, could that Sutherland Springs church massacre happen in our church too? They want to be able to report to the congregation that no, that could never happen here. So they call up the sheriff's office and say, okay, come on in and show us what we have to do. And then we go in there and we say, well, okay, if you want to be safe from something like this, you have to do X, Y, Z. And boy, you know, everyone's on board until you mention the word gun. And then they just back way off. Oh, no, we can't have any guns in the church. This is a sacred, holy place. Well, it's only a sacred, holy place until, you know, the maniac comes in with an AR-15 and starts slaughtering, you know, little kids and old ladies. Then it doesn't feel quite so sacred anymore. Folks, there's just no politically correct way to say it. There's no warm, fuzzy way to say the only way to stop that active killer who's slaughtering innocent people is to kill them. You have to meet deadly force with deadly force. I don't know any other way to do that. I don't think there's another way to do that. I mean, you can show them your gun and hope they run away, but someone who has come to that church with overwhelming deadly force and they start to kill people, they have already prepared themselves for their own death. They've issued themselves last rites, and they've said, I'm going to go there, I'm going to kill as many people as I can, and then I will die myself, and if I have to, I'll kill myself. And that happens so many times. But a lot of these churches, they remain soft targets simply because they're not willing or not capable of taking that crucial step to get armed and to get trained. Actually, to get trained and then armed. That's the order that we'd like you to do that in. So it's sad, you know, when we see that. But you know what? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know, when someone calls up the sheriff's office and, you know, we go in there and they balk at the whole armed security proposition, we just back off, say, okay, fine. You know, it's your choice. This is your church. You know, you're going to live or die based on decisions that you make. So, not a problem. But we've also covered a lot of other things. We've covered the medical. We've helped them bring in first aid training, AED training, CPR training, you know, Red Cross stuff. And they'll go through like a four-hour class on that. And that's all very, very helpful. Because quite frankly, the overwhelming danger in a church isn't that someone will come in and start shooting. It's that someone will have a heart attack. or they'll trip and fall, or a child will choke on something. And if you know what to do about that when it happens, if you've got the training, hey, you know, you put on your Superman cape, you jump in there and you save their life, and all's well that ends well. Or fire. You got to prepare for fire. You got to make sure those fire extinguishers are the proper distance apart, that there's enough of them. You got to inspect them, you know, on a regular basis to make sure they're charged up, because sometimes they lose their charge. You have to make sure you've got that basic life support first aid kit. And this isn't the $10 kit you buy at Walmart. This is one that costs like $350. And it's got all kinds of good stuff in there, like Israeli bandages and tourniquets, you know, breathing tubes, gauze, all kinds of good stuff that can help save a life. So you need that BLS first aid bag as well. We have to teach you different rings of security, concentric rings of security around your church. How do you set that up? Where do you make your presence? Where do you post your people? You know, how do you identify a risk when it's there? You know, some people will call that, you know, profiling, but it's risk identification. You know, how can you tell the bad guys? You know, they don't all look alike, right? I mean, there are pre-attack indicators that you can see, but you have to have the training in order to notice this stuff when it really happens. If you don't, then all you're doing with your church is you're herding all the sheep into one corral, and you've got no way to protect them. You just hope nothing bad happens. And folks, hope is a wonderful thing. Hope has gotten me through a lot of hard emotional times, but hope is not a plan. Hope and pray is what you do when you don't have a plan, or when the plan that you had didn't work. So hope and pray is a wonderful thing, but you should also make a plan, get prepared, get trained, and it's your responsibility to protect the people that you've gathered in, because you've said to the general public, you know, on your marquee, out on the front lawn of your church, you said, come and worship here, you know, come and learn with us, come and live with us. And if you're going to invite them in, you have a responsibility to keep them safe while they're there. You've said, hey, come on in, worship with us. We will protect your husband, your wife. We'll protect all of your children. We will do that. You'll protect them from active killers. You'll protect them from medical emergencies, from fire emergencies, from weather emergencies. There are so many different aspects of church safety teams that you have to know. So this big summit on February 16 at Thornapple Valley Church near Hastings, Michigan. It's going to be a big event. I will be there along with a whole bunch of other people. We are in the planning stages right now. We're getting the right people to come and speak and train you. And it'll last most of the day. There'll be a nice lunch there for everyone. But by the time you get done, by the end of the day, you should be able to go back to your church and set up your own church safety team, step by step by step. So I encourage all of you to come. You need to call the Berry County Sheriff's Office, ask for Deputy Kevin Erb, and that number again is 269-948-4805. 269-948-4805. And if you can't remember that, just send me an email at skipcoriel@hotmail.com and I will point you in the right direction. Okay, next week is our final show before Christmas. We'll have another Christmas show. I won't tell you what it is. It'll be a surprise, but you're going to love it. Okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. Until next week,
Remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
That's a Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right. That's right. Attaboy, Clarence.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!